Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for This Week in Google is provided by CacheFly. CacheFly.com. You'll find all the TWiT shows on your Roku box, Android, and BlackBerry phones, and all Yahoo Widget TVs powered by MediaFly. For more information, visit twit.tv/MediaFly. It's time for TWiG, This Week in Google, Episode 70, recorded November 24th, 2010. Sweaty Zuck Hug. This Week in Google is brought to you by Ford and the new Ford Fiesta. With an EPA estimated 40 highway miles per gallon, no other compact car is more fuel efficient. And don't forget to visit Ford at twitfordfocus.com to enter the 2012 Ford Focus Global Test Drive Challenge. And by Squarespace.com, the fast and easy way to publish a high-quality website or blog. For a free trial and 10% off the lifetime of your new account, go to squarespace.com/twig and use the offer code TWIG. And by GoToMeeting, improve your conference calls and keep everyone on the same page when you share your screen with GoToMeeting. For your free 30-day trial, visit gotomeeting.com/twig. It's time for TWIG, This Week in Google, the show that covers the cloud in the Googleverse. Joining us, as always, Gina Trapani. Well, almost always. Gina Trapani from smarterware.org. Good to see you.
Almost always? Not always?
Sometimes you miss the show. Makes me sad. I cry when you do.
I couldn't miss a show with you turkeys.
No. Oh! Speaking of turkeys, Jeff Jarvis, happy Thanksgiving.
Hey.
Is the smell of roasting turkey wafting through the Jarvis home right now?
No, we don't like turkey.
Oh, okay. There you go.
Contrarian in all things.
Leo. I'm going to find out what you eat. Is it a big ham?
One year, I suggested to my wife that we should save her effort, and this is when her father and grandfather were alive, and get a tray of lasagna.
Oh, yes.
I've never seen a sadder face than my grandfather-in-law as he looked at it as if it were a dead dog.
Well, you know what my people do, and Gina's people do, too. We have the lasagna. We have the antipasto. Then you have the turkey, as if you haven't eaten enough.
Exactly. There's always the antipasto, right, and the pasta involved. In any meal. Yeah.
And then you have the turkey stuffing, sweet potatoes, green beans, pumpkin pie, and a little cannoli.
Yes. And then espresso. It lasts from noon until 7 or 8 at night.
Paisan! Yep. Hey, speaking of paisans, the great Om Malik is joining us this week. It's great to see you, Om, from GigaOm.com.
How are you doing, guys?
It's good to see you. Thank you for joining us.
Pleasure to be back. No turkey for me. No. I'm having tofu.
Tofu.
Yeah.
Tofu. Do you celebrate, Diwali? What do you celebrate?
I celebrate everything. This is a festival I'm in.
Life. Yeah. I celebrate life.
That's right. We can't have enough of that.
Om is a hardworking man, though. Let me tell you, go to GigaOm.com. I don't know how people do blogs like that. The news cycle is 20 seconds, not 20 hours, and you're just constantly working to keep up with it.
We're learning from the master. That is you.
Oh, I don't do any reporting, though. I just repeat what you guys say.
We're bloggers. We don't do no reporting. Come on. Haven't you read the mainstream media? They always say we don't do anything.
Somebody's got to do some work. I don't know who, but somebody's got to do some work. What did Blodgett say?
I'm curious if this follows your experience. He said that hiring newspaper reporters is kind of a disaster because they come in, they want to drink their coffee, read the paper, go out to lunch, come back, do one thing.
One story a day. What do you want?
Yeah, and they look at him like he's a slave driver.
Right. You mean five? I got to file five times a day? What are you talking about? Well, just wait.
I don't know what to say. To each his own, I guess.
Yeah.
I think this is a different, the new generation is very different from the previous generation of journalists. So.
Yes.
You kind of learn to live with those realities.
So Rupert Murdoch's reality is they're going to put together, apparently with Apple, a iPad-only newspaper called The Daily.
The Daily, but he may not get away with it because there are other claims to the name.
Well, and excuse me, are you going to update it daily?
Yeah, that's all he's going to do is daily.
Oh, that's pathetic. This, welcome, I mean, to the internet,
might
Rupert.
A little bit, but it's gonna, every night somebody's going to hit a button just like they did on the Google Press.
No, they're not going to update it like throughout the day. It's going to once a day. It's going to update,
right? Because this is a replication of old wine in new cask.
He says we're going to have this. I love this. We're going to have 100 reporters and 6 tech guys. Okay. And
I told you Leo is drunk.
I wish I were drunk when I hear something like that. So is 100 reporters enough? What does USA Today have? What does the New York Times have? Is 100 reporters enough?
Well, the Washington Post has... Well, the New York Times is ridiculous. It has 2,000. Washington Post has about 750. Philadelphia Inquirer and Daily News, about 500. Star Ledger these days, probably about 250.
So 100 is pretty scant for a national newspaper.
And this is going to be iPad only and paid?
Yeah, 99 cents a week.
99 cents a week, okay.
At least the price is right. Don't you think, Jeff, that's a good price?
Yeah.
I mean, I look at the New Yorker, it's $5. I look at the Economist. You know, I mean, these weeklies are charging huge amounts of money.
Yes, but Leo, you can get, Condé Nast Traveler for $1 an issue if you subscribe.
Okay, on the iPad, you mean?
No.
Well,
I'm talking
about the iPad.
Oh, no, that's the irony of it. In real life, you can get the printed magazine with all its beautiful photos and all that for $1 an issue, and you have to pay more online.
So I think 99 cents a week for a daily newspaper, I guess. I guess we're just going to have to see what it is, what the quality is and all
that. Yeah, we will. The economics of that are subscriber acquisition cost. You have to pay marketing to bring people in. When I worked on EW, Entertainment Weekly, it was costing anywhere from $20 to $30 per subscriber in marketing cost.
Wow. The presumption.
I think the big issue here is that I think not many people are thinking about is the 100 reporters and 6 engineers. That is a model from the 20th century. Today's model is 100 engineers and 6 reporters is how it's going to be.
Right.
And unfortunately, the old media people don't quite get it, that they're not in the business of news. They're in the business of information, right? And information comes in many different ways, in many different forms. And as long as they don't quite get it, they will continue to lose money and keep trying to bottle the old wine in a new bottle, and they won't be successful. I'm hoping that this new project is actually going to be interesting because, at least they're spending money and doing something new versus Wall Street Journal or New York Times, which looks essentially the same thing as you can buy in print or on their website. So there's nothing surprising about that. So I hope they do come up with something interesting.
There is an opportunity to do that.
Yeah, if nothing else, that on a daily basis, if they have better gossip, I'm going to subscribe.
That might be all it takes.
Yeah, that's all I really want from Murdoch's product.
Right. He says it'll be a tabloid. I don't know, maybe Jeff, you can figure this one out. A tabloid sensibility with a broadsheet point of view, or a tabloid point of view with a broadsheet sensibility. It's a mix of the two. The broadsheets are what, like the Financial Times, like the serious papers?
New York Times is serious papers, and the tabloids are obviously
like the
Sun and the Post. It's Murdoch, so it's going to have attitude. He has Richard Johnson, ex-Post there. He has an ex-editor of the Post, managing editor of the Post involved, so it'll have Posty attitude. Murdoch, the thing about Murdoch is he loves making money, but he does that through entertainment. I know that with news publishing, he has always said that what he really wants is a bully pulpit, so-called. He loses, I don't know what the number is now, more than $25 million a year on the New York Post so that he has that bully pulpit. He overpaid like crazy for the Wall Street Journal. He has the bully pulpit.
I would guess he's making money on the Journal by now, right?
Hard to say. There's no transparency of numbers at all, and don't know. They discount the subscriptions very, very heavily. It's a good ad category in good times, but right now, not so much. But the other thing Murdoch wants to do is he fancies himself the savior of the newspaper business. When he broke the unions and broke the old work rules in London when he moved to this so-called Wapping plant, which always sounded a little obscene to me. You're going to give yourself a good whopping. And,
or something from a Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. Something Willy Wonka might have a whopping plant.
We make whops there.
Yeah.
I guess I shouldn't say that.
Hey.
Sorry. I didn't mean that. I didn't mean that. W-A-P. Anyway, so now I think he thinks he's going to rescue the industry by saying, well, people should pay and they should do what they used to do, and so we're going to prove that works. Well, good friggin' luck, group. Right.
So I've got an iPad with a full web browser where and thousands of services that let you put together a customized news page or an RSS reader kind of experience like Google Reader, but I'm going to pay 99 cents to get the daily.
Well, you might. I mean, if I look at people who buy iPads and how they use it, I think that that's not necessarily untrue. I think that I could see those people paying a buck a week to have this beautiful experience. I mean, isn't that kind of what the iPad is for people who don't like the web?
Yeah, I guess you're right. It's a good point.
It's chew the web.
Except usage on the iPad is mainly the web.
Is it?
Yeah. Yeah, we had those stats in a few weeks ago on the list. Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting. Well, that's telling.
It's good. It's good for the fate of the world. And yeah, we didn't discuss it, I don't think, last week, maybe it was since then, but Tim Berners-Lee's magnificent essay in Scientific American, you know, he responded, among other things, to Wired Magazine and said the web is not dead from the man who invented it. And he does decry and worry about the closed world of not just apps, but also Facebook and in great measure Google and others. And, you know, as always, we're fighting for the openness of our world. And we got to fight for it.
I think the one thing which, you know, we can't ignore, Jeff, I think, you know, Sir Tim is absolutely right when he brings up those issues. But, you know, the problem is that all of us tend to measure the world today and the future from yesterday's, you know, measurement tools or yardsticks. So web, what it was, you know, earlier is very different than the web it will be tomorrow, right? So very to true. Kind of say that we have an idea what it will be is quite different. I mean, if you look at the Twitter app, it has an embedded browser in it. So how is the browser dead? Not really. It just is different. It's a different packaging now. It's a different sensibility. And I think it's essentially, you know, in many ways, if you really think about it, the analogy I like to see it, that we're going from, you know, from what used to be the Henry Ford world into a world where there are many cars, right? And essentially in different formats. The essential idea of the internet is not changing. The essential idea of internet as an information resource hasn't really changed. What might change is how we view it. That's not really saying the web is dead. So in that sense, you know, the guys from Wired were very sensationalist. And, you know, from that sense, you know, Sir Tim is right, but even he's also being a little bit alarmist. You know, the internet is by the people for the people. Let people define what it will be, right? So people at this very moment are defining apps as a way to use it. These are the same people who were on MySpace and they're on Facebook and they will be on something else tomorrow. So I think the web is an organic thing. It's a living thing and it changes. And, you know, just like any other organic living thing, it's changing its skin sort of, so to speak, right now. And I think that's a good thing. That's a good thing from an innovation perspective. I think it's a good thing from the perspective of imagining new user experiences and new products. So I like where we are going right now. And I don't think we need to be alarmist about it. You know, you can, you know, just remember 5 years ago, MySpace was the king. Today, they basically have capitulated and said, we will use Facebook logon to kind of let people in. So, you know, Mark Zuckerberg and company cannot take it for granted that they will be around in 2015.
Not at all.
I agree with you on, but at the same time, I think what Tim's saying, in fact, the subtitle of his article is the web is critical, not merely to the digital revolution, but to our continued prosperity and even our liberty, and it needs defending. He's calling for open standards, net neutrality, things like that. And I think people maybe, I don't know, is it anti-democratic to say you can't trust people to act in that, in their best interest in that way? I think sometimes,
but it's not people. The problem you're going against here is not people.
Interests.
The problem is the business interests and government interests. Very importantly, government interests as well.
Well, the government's acting in the interest of business in that case.
They're also acting in the interest of being able to, you know, forcing businesses to hold our data so right. that they can do criminal investigations, things like that. And I, what Om said, I absolutely agree with, but I think we could lose it. The web is of the people. The internet is of the people. But if we don't protect that, cue my plug for a Bill of Rights here.
Right.
But if we don't protect the principles, if we don't create principles and then protect them, then it'll be our own fault when we lose them. And I think that's what Sir Tim is saying.
And we're the people, and this is the conversation that's happening. I mean, this is part of that process. So I agree with you, Om, that the process, you know, is good. But I just sometimes, some of us who maybe understand a little better the risks inherent might need to nudge a little bit in the direction of free, open, neutral, that kind of thing.
You know, nobody is arguing against free, open, and neutral. What I'm arguing for is people should have the choice to access the web in whatever format they choose to, right? Like,
well, of course.
There is, right? Like, so it doesn't have, we don't have to view the web from the eyes of a browser that was created in 1994. Essentially, nothing really has changed with the browser. Nothing really has changed. You know, Gina can speak to that in terms of the tools of, you know, creating great web experiences haven't really changed that much. The web itself is pretty much the way it was, the way we discovered it. You know, it's gotten a little prettier and we're using, you know, more pictures and a little bit more multimedia. But what it hasn't changed is the our human interaction with the web hasn't quite changed as much. Whereas when you look at things like apps on iPad or on Android or whatever, you feel there is a little bit more immersion going on. There is a new kind of a user interaction going on with these services. So I think there is that element which we also have to remember. That's how I feel about it.
Well,
I don't know what
we love our apps, but I think apps. I mean, I would push for HTML5 and web-based apps, and the market may not push in that direction, especially people like Rupert Murdoch, who would like to control, he wants the walled garden, and that's what the Daily is a walled garden, a paywall. And I think, you know, this vision that Gina has of us bookmarking and going from site to site on our browser, that's what made the web so powerful. It doesn't have to be a browser, I guess, or it could be a richer browser experience. We're working towards that.
I mean, the linking part of it is the thing that's the most important.
The links
are
the key. Yeah.
Even if I subscribe to the Daily, I couldn't ever blog about any of those stories, which makes it much less valuable to me as a blogger, right? Because I can't link or quote. You know, I can quote, but I can't link. You know, it's not a linkable page that I know anybody can get to. But I totally agree with Om. I think that these things evolve. I do trust that people will interact with the web in the ways that they want. A lot of apps do have an embedded browser inside them when you are viewing content, so it is kind of the browser and it is kind of the web.
For all we know, they might do that in the Daily. They might give you a share and a link, and who knows what they're going to do. But
yeah, they're saying they're not going to.
They say they're not going to.
I think I've seen that, but I don't know if that's from a source or from somebody who doesn't know.
Interesting.
But, you know, Gene, I think you're right. It's the link. But what got me about Berners-Lee's piece is he turned it around to the principle here, which is the URI, and that anything that's online without a URI is not gettable through search or through links or through analysis, and that the principle should be that everything has a URI.
Right, there's a standard way to fetch content. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yep, absolutely.
So as people who are in the technology industry, let me push back on that. Why do we have to have this notion of URI? Why can't we have this notion of everything being a social object which can be all mashed together? Right, which is
but that's what a URI is.
That's the enabling. But it is just like we are looking at URI from an older perspective. I think in the future it might mean entirely different than what it is today.
Well, you know, in fact,
it doesn't have to be links as in bookmarks. It can be
absolutely.
Linking.
No, I agree, but it needs an address,
and like
you can't see it as an object if you can't address it.
And in the in the world that Rupert Murdoch would like to create, you can't. He doesn't want it the free flow of this movement back and forth. He wants you to come in, look at it,
and
leave.
Mark Zuckerberg.
And really, that's what Facebook's moving towards. Although I would say that Om is probably more satisfied by what Mark's doing because at least it's social, right? Maybe it's
Yeah, I'm just speaking to Tim Berners-Lee's issue there, which is
this is what I was saying about Facebook all along, and I'm really glad he articulated it because I think he did a very good job of it.
Yeah,
I think as far as the Murdoch experiment with the Daily, if you can't share it, if you can't link it, well, it's going to be not that relevant. I have to be honest. People like to share information and things and articles and stuff. And if you can't do it, well, you can get a Botox injection. That doesn't make you 16 years old.
Wait, it's this idea that the requirement is you have to be participating in a proprietary platform, whether that's I have to have a Facebook account to do something, or I have to have an iPad with this app. It's just this, everyone has access to the web and it's a free and public resource. So it's just that how are you going to share daily articles? I mean, it's pretty much going to be an ad for the Daily. It's going to say download this app and subscribe in order to see this. It's honestly, it's not going to go anywhere.
Right. It is certainly Murdoch's option. It is his right and privilege to do exactly the structure he's doing. I have no problem with that whatsoever. And if somebody figures out paid, that's probably a fine thing, too. I just would not bet a penny on it. That's all.
I agree. We're talking about, we'll get to talking about Google in just a little bit. Apparently, they offered to buy Twitter for some good money. We'll talk about that in just a second. But first, I want to mention
not enough.
Not enough. I am insulted.
Sir,
you have insulted my honor. Before we do that, though, I'd like to talk a little bit about the Ford Focus and the great Drive One Challenge, the Global Focus Test Drive. Don't get mad at me, but this link, twitfordfocus.com, goes right to a Facebook page. That's how Ford wanted to do it, okay? But it is it's a lot of fun. The new Focus is coming out, the 2012. I've seen it already. It is spectacular, and it's Ford's world car. It will be the same essential model all over the world. It's the first time Ford's done that, and it's very exciting. Boy, is it a good-looking car. You've heard about the EcoBoost engines they're putting in these, the V6 engines with a lot of horsepower, but very great gas mileage. That's in the Taurus show. You've heard us talk about the 2011 Fiesta, the most fuel-efficient compact car on the road today, 40 highway miles per gallon. And this new Ford Focus is going to blow people's mind. Wait till you see it. Now through December 31st, 2010, go to twitfordfocus.com and create a video saying why you would like to drive the new Ford Focus. And I'll tell you why. Ford will send $10,000 to the charitable cause of your choice if you win, and send you and a friend on a free trip to a secret location somewhere in Europe to test drive the all-new 2012 Ford Focus. Pretty cool, huh? To learn more and what you should submit in the entry, go to twitfordfocus.com. And you can submit the video right there. Less than 2 minutes. Explain why you want to be one of the first to test drive the 2012 Ford Focus. And how you'd start something more for a good cause with the local market equivalent of $10,000. So it's worldwide. Really cool. Twitfordfocus.com. And I'm excited about Ford, the new Ford Focus, and, of course, that great Ford Sync. It is such a beautiful car. They had it at the Blog World, and it is just spectacular. Thank you, Ford, for your support of This Week in Google. So, Google offers $2.5 billion for Twitter. and according to Business Insider, Ev felt insulted that they would offer so little. Then somebody else comes along and says, well, what about $4 billion? Are you kidding me? How much is Twitter worth? If Facebook's worth $35
billion. No, 40 now.
40? I can't keep track.
There's derivatives being drawn from the stock because it's such high demand, which is what it is. It's artificially demand. Ridiculously high demand.
Yeah.
But yeah, the latest valuation is 40.
Wow.
It seems like, I don't know much about this stuff, but it seems like anything under $10 billion for Twitter would be kind of insulting. And it sounds like this $2.5 billion price was just sort of floated in a conversation. I mean, you have to remember, Ev, founded Blogger and sold Blogger to Google. So they've done kind of business deals with him before. I'm sure that he's in touch with lots of folks at Google. And maybe they were just, they're kind of chatting over drinks. But yeah, 2.5 is seems crazy.
Is it? Crazily low. Do your sources, Ohm, say that actually was it an offer or what?
I have no idea. And, they're out raising money, apparently, at $3 billion valuation. So why would they sell for $2.5 billion?
Right.
And I don't think they need to, and I don't think they should, given that all the people involved in this company have had, you know, a pretty good, successful run in their previous lives, right?
So it's a good team. Yeah.
Right. On top of that, their VCs, you know, if you look at Fred Wilson, you know, he isn't doing too shabbily between Zynga, Twitter, Etsy, and a bunch of others. His fund is already, you know, returning money like many times over. So he doesn't need to push this company to exit like tomorrow. And same is with some of his other investors. So, you know, I think they should, in my opinion, go for it. Like, I mean, you know, how often does an entrepreneur, you know, sit on top of a platform which changes everything, right? So, which is fast growing, which has momentum, and it has an impact on what, close to 200 million people. And I think that is where, you know, the guys from Twitter should be thinking, because this is like once in a lifetime opportunity to create something which is a long-term value. I think they should actually learn the lesson of Mark Zuckerberg, you know, not get out too early.
Mark got out too early?
No, to follow his example.
Follow his example.
Because I agree. Fred had Delicious, which went out for, I think the number was 40 million. And, you know, it was kind of, You know, you understand the entrepreneur who goes home and says, honey, I think I'll turn down $40 million today. And she says, are you nuts? I get that, but it's about vision here, and certainly Ev and company can afford the vision.
And they don't need the money. I love it that they don't need the money, and so they don't have to push to exit. That's one of the problems right now, or it has been one of the problems with the tech marketplace, is that there's always this push to exit.
Right, and I think there is a lot of marginal thinking going on right now. I hate to say this, but you know, people have to think for the long term. People have to think big. You know, the Valley is about big ideas and big dreams and building big things. If we don't do that, then we don't, you know, then we don't find, you know, for the lack of a better example, Oracle. We don't have the next Google. We don't have the next Intel. We don't have the next Infinera, right? People need to dream big, you know, play for the long term. We have to do that. And I think, you know, the guys from Twitter are smart if they're going for it. Like, you know, the worst case scenario is that it doesn't work out. Well, it didn't work out for MySpace either, you know?
Right.
So, I mean,
well, it did for the owners.
Right. Murdoch paid $400 million for it. It's Murdoch that gets...
Right, but like, it didn't really work out as a service, right? So that's your downside. What's the downside for Ev and everybody else? That they won't have, you know, a few billion dollars versus the chance to live their dream? Come on.
Right. And look at some of the things people are doing. Look at this Tim Burton Exquisite Corpse project, Cadavra... Exquisite. He is. We did. You know, I tried to do this with Molly Wood and Tom Merritt. We had a Twitter account called Novel 140, and we took turns adding a sentence, but it went all over the place because, you know, we all were competing with each other. So here's what you do: you tweet what you would like the next line to be, but then they vote on which one is the best, and the story will get told. I think that's kind of interesting. I mean, it's obviously a publicity ploy, but it's still very interesting.
Needs more games.
Yeah, exactly. It's fun.
Yeah.
Stainboy, using his obvious expertise, was called in to investigate the mysterious glowing goo in the gallery floor. That's how that's how it started. And then the subsequent tweets. It started 2 days ago, so you can really get, you can still get in on this, although it's gone quite a ways down. I like this. I think it's a great idea. And you can, if you go to the page, which is burtonstory.com, you can see the tweets, the candidate tweets, but what people are tweeting so far, and then, you know, see how the story is coming out. I love it. I guess use the tag, the hashtag Burton Story. You can follow it on Twitter, at Burton Story. I doubt it. I mean, I don't know if anything will come of it, but I just think it's a really fun idea. More games,
hey,
I agree.
Hey, West Coasters, did you get to watch Fred Wilson v. John Doerr at Web 2.0?
Oh, I did not. I was busy.
I watched it on video.
And?
What did you think?
I'm actually a big fan of Fred now.
I am too. That's what was what I came out with. Is the John
so what was
came
the
off
debate?
As Bubble Boy.
What was the debate? Whether there's a bubble?
Yeah, I put it at the simplest level. Yes, and it was California versus East in attitude, and Fred was just I think more mature and sane about it, and they were very respectful to each other, but they also disagreed a lot. What'd you think, Om?
I agree with you on I think Fred Wilson is the social generation's John Doerr.
Yeah, John's kind of old hat now.
Yes. Well
yeah.
said.
No. I don't mean no disrespect to John, but I think Fred actually understands social much better than some of his Sandal Road counterparts.
Both of these, we should explain for those who are not in the know, these are both major venture capitalists. John Doerr, a little bit of the earlier generation, though, yes?
Yeah, and you know, Fred, because of his links with Delicious and Etsy and Kickstarter and Twitter and, Zynga, he understands social so much more deeply and intuitively that he knows what he's talking about. And so when the conversation, when he was actually talking about, I think he might have been sounding the alarm about 12 to 14 months too soon. That may be on Fred. So
Fred's not so much sounding alarm. I see what you're saying, but I don't think he so much sounds alarm. But he always pulls back. He has a caution about him. And I don't think it's an alarm. I think it's just the way Fred is.
Jim Diedrichsen in our chat room says, if Facebook's worth $40 billion, $5 per human on the planet, I'm pretty sure there's a tech bubble.
Good point.
That's a good point, isn't it? But the bubble we're talking about here is an investing bubble, a VC bubble, I think, yes? Or an angel bubble.
Yeah, well, it is an investment bubble.
I mean, because we don't have IPOs anymore virtually, so you can't say there's a stock bubble anymore.
Well, it's an inefficient marketplace in this pre-IPO market. That's why Facebook is so overpriced, is because
it's inefficient.
Couldn't be scarcer.
Yeah, good point. Very good point. It's all those derivatives that are driving the value up.
Yes.
Good news for you, Mr. Jeff Jarvis. Wi-Fi Galaxy Tab coming to Best Buy $499.
No, it's the opposite.
Well, okay, well, that's the first part. The second part is never mind.
Yeah, exactly. Sorry, I ruined your punchline. I stepped
No, you didn't. I was just going to get your hopes up, then dash them. That was all.
I dashed them myself. I took the picture of that notice in a Best Buy, and it spread a fair amount this week, but it said that, oops, our circular was wrong because Samsung pulled it back.
Yeah, not Best Buy's fault.
No, which I mean, probably it's not Samsung's fault either. It's probably the carriers.
Oh, you think the carriers are fighting them?
Yeah,
because that's what you want is a Wi-Fi. By the way, I love the Galaxy Tab. I think it's a great form factor. It's very nicely made. The screen is fantastic. It is a great Android platform. And I know Google, we talked about this last week. I know Google said,
is there a but coming?
No, there's no but.
Oh, good, because I'm about to do it. I'm going to do it. I went out and I had to go all over Hell's Half Acre to find the Virgin MiFi.
Yes.
$40 a month.
$40 a month. Yep.
You cannot find it anywhere. I drove 40 miles today and got a flat tire. I was trudging through the snow and the rain to get my MiFi. And so I'm going to do that. And I might still buy the carrier-enabled device just so I have kind of the option, but then not use the plan.
Right.
That's my current plan. So I pay a $100 premium. To do
but
that
you don't have to activate it, but then you have 3G in there. Which carrier would you use in your neck
That's
of the
woods? That's what I was about to ask you, boss.
I think Verizon for New York, right? Be my guess. You've got Verizon. All of them have it. AT&T, T-Mobile.
Here's the only question. Sprint. If I abandoned Virgin.
Well, here's the deal. You should understand that your Virgin is Sprint.
Yes, but I want tethering. Right? I want to be able to power my laptop. I don't want to have
right.
More than one.
Right. I'm really thinking that since you've already got Sprint, if you got the Verizon in there, it would also give you more flexibility, right?
Right, right. So, Gina, you're still not going to do it until Google blesses it.
She's waiting for gingerbread.
Yeah, I'm waiting. Well, it's Honeycomb is supposed to be the tablet.
Oh, that's
tablet
right. Version, Gingerbread's 2.3 and Honeycomb is 3.0.
It's 3.0, yeah. Yeah, I'm hanging in there. Although I did buy the Kinect this week. I decided, forget this productivity crap.
And which
game? Dance Central.
Isn't Dance Central awesome?
It's awesome.
Wait a minute. Stand up. Let's do it, okay?
We sang last week. We danced this week.
There's so many silly.
Groove snap.
It's kind of silly.
Yeah, it's really silly.
So disapproving right now.
No, Ohm says he celebrates all the time. Dance Central is a celebration.
Yeah, so I decided to wait on the tablet. I'm probably going to wait on the tablet till because there's going to be an Apple announcement in January as well. I'm interested to see what
there'll
the new
be a new iPad.
iPad.
Yeah, there'll be a new iPad.
So I'm going to hold out a little while longer. Although I have to say, it's been hard.
And Gadget says 600,000 Galaxy Tabs. Actually, Samsung's saying this sold worldwide. That's a good number. It's, you know, I wish it had a little bit better camera. I don't understand why it's a 3.2 megapixel camera. It really ought to be a 5 or an 8 in there. But other than that, that's the only thing I don't like about it. It's really well made, very solid.
That's good to hear.
Great
screen.
And then
we got a new one just now, right? That was, whose was it?
Oh, there's a ton of them coming out.
The Acer.
Oh, Acer's announced several form factors, too, which is very interesting.
Two operating systems, three form factors.
Many
choices.
Yeah.
Welcome to Android.
And where are you on tablet ownership?
Oh, he's got a Galaxy. How do you like it?
It's all right. And it has Wi-Fi. I don't know why people are complaining about
it. No, it has it. They just don't want to pay the carrier 3G. So we want Wi-Fi only, not
at $4.99 instead of $5.99, right. Which you...
Right. It's like a Wi-Fi only iPad, basically.
There's an awesome little device called the iPad. You should just own that. You know, stop complaining.
He famously sent it back. He did a reboxing.
You know, there is a lot of things I love about Jeff. That is not one of them.
he's been holding this in.
I like Android a lot. I think the iPad is very nice. I don't know if anybody needs either, to be honest with you. I mean, I think a good phone with a big screen is probably sufficient.
I would agree with you on that. I only use my iPad for reading. That's it. And the iPhone, I have the BlackBerry, which is a pain to use because of the browser. So I end up carrying either an Android device or I have a MiFi with an iPhone without a SIM card, and I use that for surfing the web. But it is definitely a pain to have. Like, an iPad is not that... You know, useful versus like an iPhone.
It doesn't replace a laptop. Right.
No, actually, it does replace the laptop.
It does. Okay, that's good.
Yeah, but it doesn't replace the phone, right? Like, a lot of people have thought that they wouldn't have to carry a phone or a smartphone. They'll just carry a regular phone.
Why not put, that was one of the things when I held this Galaxy Tab, I thought, this really, if I had a phone in this, I'd be a little happier. I guess you can use Skype or something.
Yeah, but it just doesn't quite work.
Why doesn't Apple put a phone in the iPad or somebody put a phone in a tablet? You're going to carry it around, why not?
So I'm thinking about switching to just a plain basic phone very soon.
So you just have a phone and then a smart something else.
And just either an iPad or maybe one of these Samsung devices.
It's interesting. That makes sense. Yeah. Why not?
Because I've just seen the number of minutes I use on the phone has gone down to like less than 300 minutes.
That's the key. Me too. I'm down to 150 a month. People
but I use like Skype all the time. Like
Skype?
I'm on Skype.
Texting a lot. Those services, we communicate just as much. We just don't do it in phone calls as much.
Okay. You know, I think the best thing I did was actually send an iPhone to my parents. So now they have Skype on it. So it's great. Like, so we don't even have to worry about... The only downside is my mom calls me from India at pretty strange times. So I have to turn off notifications. But otherwise, it just is a great, great little app and a great little device for her. So we talk a lot.
If Google Voice did everything, was a full implementation on the tablet, that would be enough.
I think Google Voice, if it worked, would be fantastic.
Right.
If it worked.
It works for me.
Google Voice, it works most of the time. There's once in a while I get that I can't connect a call. But for the most part, it does work. I wouldn't be surprised if we saw phones and tablets in version 3 and version 4. I mean, I think Apple holds back these things like cameras and that kind of thing, sure, just so they have something to release the next year. I wouldn't be surprised as the market, kind of absorbs more tablets and gets used to having tablets if we don't see one with a phone option and a headset.
Acer's Android smartphone is 4.8 inches. We mocked the Dell Streak. It's a little smaller than a Streak, a little bigger than an Evo or a Droid X. But I like the 1024 by 480 screen.
I think that's, they have a 7-inch and a 10-inch, right?
Yeah, are they really covering? Acer, I think this is smart. Acer's just covering the... And I don't know. I feel fine with 2.2 on one of these devices. I don't know what Google... I don't know what 3 will bring to the table that...
Who got the Nexus One 2.21 update this week and freaked out and thought that it was Gingerbread and was jumping up and down in the living room? Yeah, me too.
2.21.
It's like the sight of the little robot and the unpacking box was so exciting.
It
and then
do that. Oh,
there's like nothing visibly different about the update. Yeah. It's just a security update.
It really shouldn't do that.
But I heard December 6th, getting floated for Gingerbread starting to roll out. So
for Gingerbread, but not Honeycombs when? Later this year or next year?
Not sure.
I don't know. Gingerbread, Gingerbread should have been any minute now. They put the freaking statue on the lawn.
I know. The statue's on the lawn. Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Come on, Google. Push it down to be a Leo first.
Once you put the statue on the lawn, you got to ship it.
Yeah.
Let's see.
I wish I had a better browser on my BlackBerry.
Get rid of that piece of crap. What are you using a BlackBerry for?
Speaking of holding on to old models, old wine.
He's the Rupert Murdoch of cell phones.
Yeah. Jeez. It works. It's a phone which rings everywhere.
Tough crowd.
Yeah, but it doesn't. I mean, seriously, without a browser, I mean, a crappy browser is kind of very... last century.
It's got BBM, man. I got like so many people on BBM.
BBM, what is that?
BlackBerry Messenger.
Oh, BlackBerry Messenger.
That's like the MCI mail of our age.
Yeah, BlackBerry Messenger. Oh.
Come on. You shouldn't be talking about MCI mail.
What was my MCI mail handle? It's not your name, right? It was like a number, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
That is CompuServe.
CompuServe. Yeah, I was 72751.
714351134.
75434,1304.
You never forget that crappy number.
Damn. I still.
75106,1334.
And Gina's too young.
She doesn't know what we're talking about.
No comment.
You never had a modem coupler that you would jam the handset into, and never had that.
No, no. I was in college.
Even when you were
a
kid,
my first kind of ISP was
Google's CEO Schmidt says no Chrome OS or netbooks for Christmas.
Ooh, Scrooge.
Well, I think if I'm Google, I'm going to watch and see what happens with Android, aren't I?
I don't know. Yeah. You think this is a planned thing? This sounded more like we slipped on our deadlines.
They did imply that they'd be this year, didn't they?
They kind of did. And I have to say, reading the story, I was like, wow, they announced Chrome OS way too early.
Yeah.
Like, it's just been too long now, I think. But they didn't say that he didn't really give a reason why. But I don't know if they're holding on purpose. He said that Chrome OS is for devices with a keyboard, right? And Android is for touchscreen. So,
So it's got to be a netbook, right?
They're sticking to it, right? It's going to be a netbook. I'm just surprised they didn't make it out by Christmas. I assume that they would.
I wouldn't want to make a netbook right now. I wouldn't want to be selling netbooks right now, would you?
No.
This is a lousy time to sell a netbook.
That's true. Yeah. Good point.
I think that market collapsed.
Yeah, it's a good point. Apple made one. I mean, Apple just announced.
Air is not a netbook. The Air is a thing of beauty and a joy forever. It's a $1,000 netbook.
It's a $1,000 netbook.
Jolie Cloud?
Yeah.
What's that?
Oh, you don't even know. Oh, you need to play with it. It's a Tariq Krim's OS. It's a free web based lots of apps on it. You really should take one of your mini netbooks, and I haven't played with it much yet. Got it down, but I'm curious. It's a cool OS.
Is Linux based?
Yeah.
I think Google should have just bought that and put the Chrome OS sticker on it and end with it.
I think you're exactly right, Om. Yep. Because it has the whole architecture of running apps and make it very easy.
Yeah, that's key, isn't it? Yeah.
Perhaps most importantly, there's a Space Invaders icon on the desktop shot.
That's very interesting. Yeah.
I just, that's, yeah. Do want.
It is actually pretty legit, so it's worth trying out.
I tried all, you know, for a while I tried the Intel did something, and there were a lot of different kind of competing, and they were all just kind of junky. So I kind of gave up. I liked the Ubuntu netbook remix. I thought that was good. So I'll try this.
This goes way beyond just being another Linux build.
Yeah. This is really an environment.
I think netbooks are going to be the hula hoops of this past year. I think that you're going to look back and go, "What were we thinking?"
The 8-track player?
Yeah. What were we thinking? So I've got some very good news for Gina in just a second. We got to run because we got to get going here. But because we got another show, I'm running a little bit late. But I do want to mention our good friends at Squarespace.com who make sites so easy to build. If you're looking to create a new website, go to Squarespace.com/twig and play with it. They call it the secret behind exceptional websites. And I'd have to agree, Squarespace just is so beautiful, so elegant. It's hosting plus software. So that's kind of the deal. Not free, but, you know, in a way, I don't mind not being free because I want to know that this place is going to be around. And that's very affordable. It's $12 a month. That's the starting price. You get a lot of features for $12 a month. And if you use the offer code TWIG, you get 10% off for the life of your account. But also, try it first. That's the main thing. Go to squarespace.com/TWIG. Click the green button and try it for free. You'll be able to import your existing site in. They've got importers for all the major platforms. No credit card needed, just the site name, the password, and email address for recovery and your capture, and you're ready. And 60-plus great templates are going to give you a great start, and then you can do, with drag and drop and Ajax, anything that you want to make your site look unique and beautiful and something you'd be proud of. It's got forms, it's got forums, it's got photo galleries, integration with Flickr and Twitter and all of that stuff. Just a fantastic technology, a fantastic platform, and their server technology is rock solid. You cannot bring a Squarespace site down. We've tried. Squarespace.com/twig. Try it free for 2 weeks. No credit card needed. If you decide to buy, do use that offer code TWIG so you'll get 10% off for the life of your site. The secret behind exceptional websites. So I don't know. Is this good or not, Gina? It's the Apache Foundation says it's taking over Wave.
I think it's very good. It's the first time that I felt really, really super optimistic about Wave in a box. Novell and a couple of other companies who have been working on the Google Wave code have submitted a proposal to the Apache Software Foundation. And I'm not exactly sure how this process works, but from what I understand, they submitted a proposal. So the ASF hasn't necessarily taken it on yet, although correct me if I'm wrong on that, Leo. But basically, to make the Wave in a box into an Apache project, it would be Apache Wave. So Apache would release a Wave server product, which is great news, you know, because like almost all of the internet is run by the Apache web server, HTTP server. So it kind of gives it kind of new life. And I've actually been testing out Novell Vibe, which is a Wave-based collaboration platform. Mm. And it's interesting. It's pretty interesting.
That's a smart direction. So it's doing both in a way. It's doing a commercial version, and then it's going to support an ASF version, we hope.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like Wave is definitely going to live on in different kind of incarnations for different places, in different places, open source and also commercial products. So
maybe isn't this what it should have been? Rather than being touted as a world-changing product, it's a new engine, Wave inside, isn't it?
I think it was the intent all along, because Wave in a box was right part of the beginning, wasn't it?
Well, I mean, Wave was always open source. And the idea that it was one of the founding principles of Wave was that it would be federated and that lots of different people would run servers, right? So this was kind of part of the initial idea. I think that when Google dropped support for it and said, hey, we're not going to actively develop this anymore, it just felt like, well, you know, total lack of confidence from Google, you know, it felt like it wasn't going to go anywhere. But now this is, I think, is really going to give it new life and maybe a better home.
Yeah.
So I'm excited about it.
It is. It's very exciting. So keep that book alive.
Yeah.
I'll put it back in your lower third and your links on the show notes.
Although I'm going to have the Android book problem, which is that I'm going to have all sorts of wave implementations to cover in the book. So me and Kevin will be up writing different chapters for different versions.
Here's an interesting shift in the Android marketplace. Ratings. Content ratings. And Google's saying you're going to be labeled mature if you don't get your rating starting next week. I think this is good. I mean, everybody's complaining. There are a few pain points with Android. One is the proliferation of platforms. The other people complain about all the time. I don't find it a problem, but people complain about the market all the time. And I think the market's fine because you can get refunds. You know, that's a real advantage over Apple. I guess content ratings might make it easier. Mostly people complain because there's too much garbage, I guess, in the marketplace. And I don't think that's going to go away.
Right. Right. I think any way to rate, curate, help the good stuff bubble to the top in the Android market is a good thing, because that seems to be the biggest complaint with it. Although I agree with you. I haven't had much trouble with the market. I mean, you know.
I choose what I want.
I install what Leo installs or listen to what my friends are.
We use AppBrain. We watch what our friends install.
Right. I think that we're really close to it. Maybe for a casual user, finding the really good stuff in the Android market is a little harder.
Here's the model I think should work, and I think we talked about this before. You and the three of you should have a curated level on top of the marketplace. And every time I buy an app through you, you should get a spiff.
A little bonus, yeah. I don't want to do that because I couldn't do that because it's a...
Well, just theoretically, Leo. Yeah. In a capitalistic world, leaving behind your socialist roots.
I couldn't do anything for profit. That would be wrong.
But I think that we need a curatorial layer on top. I was back at this thing I'm doing, trying to rethink the postal service this week, which is so much fun. And the whole idea of a catalog and a channel, it's that set closed curatorial layer as opposed to a value added curatorial layer that I think that the marketplace needs, like TV needs and like stores need and so on.
Ratings aren't quite that. In fact, the ratings are from the developers. There'll be four content rating levels, all preteen, teen, and mature. Developers submitting new or updated applications will be required to include a rating. I don't know who's going to review that. A Python script, probably. The .py. I'm rated .py.
Well, you know, it'll help people find porn. You know, you just look for the M.
I think this is what this is a response to, is the opposite. That Steve Jobs said, you want porn, use Android, which probably sold a lot of phones, by the way.
Right.
Steve, just might want to think about that next time.
Why is there so much hate for Apple in this crew?
I don't hate Apple.
The show is called Twit. Sorry, Twig.
I don't hate Apple. I don't.
Okay.
It's about the cloud. It's not about devices.
I don't use an iPhone just because it's a crappy phone. Of course, I just said I don't need a phone, didn't I? I use an iPad. I like an iPad.
Yeah, I'm on a MacBook right now.
Yeah, look at
great computer.
Jeff has a phone, iPhone 4. We're all on Macs using Macs.
Okay, all right. Just want to make sure.
I think we're agnostic. I think Ohm, you're falling prey to that thing that if you don't love Apple, you hate it.
Yeah. I'm not falling prey to any of that. I'm happy using my BlackBerry. I switched away from iPhone
I do hate
long
the BlackBerry.
Before all of you guys did. I saw it all coming. The minute they said we are with AT&T, I said, oh, there you go.
You knew there was a problem, huh?
Oh, there was a problem. Yeah. And they won't acknowledge it.
No, they won't.
Like the first
thing. See, now you're the Apple hater. Now, see?
No, I'm not the Apple hater. I love Apple and I love Android. I just love everything.
Oh, yeah.
Just till I don't, you know?
No, I think we often get accused of being... I mean, Phil, yeah, on the Apple show, I'm accused of, I mean, I get accused of all of this stuff. And I think that the point is not to love or hate anything. It's just technology. Come on. I mean, it's just stuff. You know, you don't have to, people treat it all like a sports team. Oh, it's, you know, if you're not on the Apple team, you must be a Google team member. It's not a team sport.
But you know that it has happened, though. If you really look at it, it just is the discourse has devolved into that, like, either or situation now. And I don't know why that is.
No, I'm, I, you know, and I, so I think we're fair. I think we try very hard. Everybody here tries very hard to be fair.
We try to be. There's definitely Google and Apple kind of represent these kind of two different like cultures or tribes. I mean, just like values wise, you know, openness versus, I mean, I, very generally speaking, but it's all technology. And both, you know, I think both companies make incredible technology that we definitely, we're a little hard on jobs sometimes, right. I would say.
We were very, very, very hard on Facebook and then have come back around and are, you know, ready for the group hug.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't go that far.
No sweaty Zuck hugs.
Sweaty Zuck hugs. Ooh. Hey, you got to love this, Jeff Jarvis. They're throwing eggs at houses that are blurred in Google Street View. You're
in
the guy.
Germany.
You're the guy who called it Blurmany.
Well, somebody else. I wish I could take credit for that. I can't. I helped spread it.
Danny Sullivan, writing in Search Engine Land, says people. Deutsche Welle reported that people are egging homes in Essen that were blurred.
If you throw an egg at pixels, does it splat?
It's kind of amazing that they would go to this much effort.
Well, the whole thing has just gotten so wonderfully
Talk about a team sport. Yeah, you're either a Google fan or a Google enemy, apparently.
People now neighbors are getting mad at each other because they're, you know, I didn't want my home pixelated. Well, I do. Google's Munich headquarters. Not for the whole country, but for Munich, were pixelated.
What?
Because some tenant in the building wanted it so. There's also another site. Oh, God, I don't have the URL right now. That is having people go in and identify the addresses of all the pixelated homes.
Well, that's
and
how they're
so
egging
far
them.
11,000, exactly.
Yeah.
And so there's now there's more attention to those addresses than to just everybody else's address, because there's now a directory of them. A guy named Jens Best did this. If you search for him, you'll probably find it. And then if you go to Google in a lot of places, you'll see over the pixelization, as you can do with any photo anywhere, but now there are little photos there and you can mouse over and you see the buildings. So it's a whole bunch of hoo-ha for nothing. I'm going to get myself in trouble here. I think Ohm's going to come after me, but I think that there's some strange similarity that goes back to my argument about Germans and their private parts, which is that
it's always about the private parts, isn't it? Yep.
But the same kind I'll try to come up with a less loaded word than hysteria, that we see over the TSA this weekend, we see in Germany over
Do you think the TSA thinks hysteria?
Yeah, I think so.
I guess I haven't gone through it.
I tweeted a whole bunch. I'm pissing them off like crazy, this crew, but I tweeted a whole bunch. There's absolutely no protest at the airports. Everything's
Nothing.
Going really smoothly.
And today's opt-out day.
And nothing happened.
Yeah.
But there's this idea that, oh my God, no one can get within n inches of my private parts. That's the American thing. And the German thing is no one can show my building where I live. And in both cases, it's an emotional reaction, I argue.
It's just a bizarre thing to say, oh, don't show my house. I know.
And they're saying, but we think it's bizarre that they go to a sauna and show their private parts. And we here think that's the highest possible violation you can imagine.
I don't mind showing them. I don't want somebody to jiggle them.
Okay, we'll put that line there.
I mean,
I'll show them if you don't jiggle them.
Yeah.
I think that could be the name of the spot.
Let me show you. I just want to do it. That's all.
Leo, did you ever do a show like just wearing underwear below the desk?
Oh, yeah. In fact, just the show before this one, we were doing Security Now. I saw this. Nobody saw it because I went into a commercial, and I have two monitors, and I saw Steve get up. He's like wearing shorts. He's got a nice button-down shirt, but he gets up. It's, whoa, party time down there. So, but I think that it is a little bit of a Hobson's choice. You've got an x-ray that we don't really know how dangerous it is. It sounds like it's not, which is good news. Or you get a very intimate groping. It seems like that's not such a great, at all, just because I want to go home for Thanksgiving. I don't know if that's hysteria, especially since it doesn't seem. I don't think that you can make a case that it improves security in any way.
Well, but that you're trying to prove a negative. You're trying to say, which is of course impossible, and it's impossible both ways. Without this, we'll never know whether it improves it. We'll never know whether.
Well,
it doesn't.
We know it doesn't improve it because there's a great video of Adam Savage of MythBusters talking about going through TSA back and forth. And he showed what he had. He forgot. He had this. These were razors this long. He had two of them, and they never stopped him. This stuff
doesn't
work.
Maybe they were fans.
Yeah, maybe. Oh, it's Adam. He's just carrying razors around.
By the way, the somebody on Twitter tells me that the site in Germany is Finde das Pixel, FindeDasPixel.de. And you can just go along. FindeDasPixel, FindeDasPixel.de. And Jens Best did this, and it's really quite hilarious because they've gotten, let's see, how many do they have now? 19,000 buildings identified.
I was surprised. There's almost a quarter of a million people have opted out.
Yeah, they pointed out it's less than 3%, but still, I thought that was a large number, too. Yeah.
This is a significant number.
So what does gefunden mean?
To find.
Okay, so I'm going to press gefunden. I guess it'll find
something. Well, that means you found one.
Oh, I see. So you add it to the database.
On the bottom of it, if you go to those addresses there and just click on those.
Not
all of them, though. Some of them are
so here's
oh, yeah,
some.
No, that's what it is. So just some. Click on those addresses, and you see this hilarious, I would say, desecration.
Oh, yeah, there's one. Yeah. There's one. It's just silly. Yeah. It's like, you mean you don't know what that is? If I were standing there, I would know what, I mean, what has that done? It's really cuckoo.
Well, so you get a sense of what your neighbor is like.
Yeah.
Like, you see this row of houses, they're all exactly the same.
That's really funny.
This one.
It's a giant, it's very funny looking.
It is kind of pointless.
Yeah.
And I don't know who does it. I mean, it looks like the Google employee is doing this is kind of disgruntled anyway. He's going, I'll smush you out. I'll take care of you. Yeah.
Wasn't there also a staged birth on the streets of Berlin that was captured by
Street
View?
Yes, that was hilarious.
Well, I like Jeff's idea where they publish where they're going so that everybody can put on a play.
Yeah.
Right.
We can act out all sorts of drama on the streets.
Yeah, that's what people thought had happened almost, that there was a birth there, and it was staged. My theory is it's in front of an advertising agency.
Hmm.
And so I'm guessing it was a clever trick for that. But I think it's on the list, Leo. You can show it where you see a baby being pulled out. I think it's there.
Ooh, that they should blur. You can blur that. Thank you.
If you look down the list, I think I said not true in the. There you got it.
Okay, yeah. Good. Is it performance art or real birth?
Yeah, click on the Gizmodo link. Gizmodo has the full image. You know, it's just too good an image. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, this is the guy pointing.
What about the naked guy in the boot of a car? What was that all about?
That one I can't figure out. Oh, those Germans.
That's staged because there's like a broken umbrella. There's this and that. I mean, it's like a murder mystery.
Yeah, this is definitely people playing around.
All right, yeah. So it says, click on the shot above to see the baby in its full, fresh. Oh, I don't think this is fake. She was driving?
It is because Google confirms it's fake. It's not really the address. It was shot as if and then sent out there.
Yeah, that kind of looks like, yeah.
That's just too perfect a shot. You can see everything. I mean, you know, you can see the baby.
I like the guy on
the guy doing the pointing.
The guy on the phone pointing. Quick, get an ambulance. We've got a baby.
They pixelated the license plate, which is a nice touch.
Apparently, there's a hospital right across the street.
Oh, well, that guy's type kind of takes some of the. Yeah, all right. There you go. All right. Now I believe it's fake.
But that was spreading
with
around.
With no record of a street birth.
Right.
You do see how false. I was whacking that mole a couple of times. People I know were saying, look at this.
We'll get this in email. We'll get this in our email 10 years from now.
Yeah.
Did you see? Thank God for Snopes.com. All right, we got a couple more stories, and we're going to get our picks of the week, too, and our tip and our number and all of that stuff. Before we go any further, though, I'd like to mention our friends at Citrix, who do a great product that will save you a lot of time and money traveling, and it will make your conference calls much more engaging. We're talking about GoToMeeting. GoToMeeting.com/twig if you want to try it free for 30 days. You'll be more productive. People will not be bored. There's visuals. There's something to browse. There's something to look at. I love GoToMeeting. We use it all the time. There's a great iPad app. I don't think they have an Android app yet. Sure, that would be a great thing to have. Everybody on the call is more focused, more interested. They're more engaged. So you'll save time. You'll be more productive. It's a great way to turn a conference call into something really, really memorable. Great for product demos, for sales presentations, for collaboration, for training. I want you to try it free. GoToMeeting.com/twig. 128-bit SSL. 24/7 support. Free voice and teleconferencing included in the price. It's just great. GoToMeeting.com Twig. We thank them for their support of This Week in Google. Diaspora goes live. Did anybody get an invitation to Diaspora? I haven't seen it. I tried.
I haven't. I think they're going to invite folks who
gave money.
Donated. And you gave money, right, Leo? So you probably... You'll probably get an invite.
I think
soon.
I'm supposed to get a T-shirt or something. Facebook's trying to own the trademark for the word face. Does that seem right? There's nothing more to say.
Yep.
Nothing more to say. Did you like the Google? I really liked the Google doodle for Thanksgiving. Is it still up? I have to try.
It is. It is still up. So for people like me who will be saying tomorrow morning, how the hell do I make this turkey? You can go to google.com.
Yeah.
And there's six recipes from...
Ina Garten.
Ina Garten, yeah, who's Barefoot Contessa.
Oh, that's
right?
The Barefoot Contessa. Oh,
yeah,
that's neat.
Yeah, and there's a few recipes there.
Oh, that's really... That's a little different for Google. Usually you click the doodle and you get a search... results.
You get a search results or a special landing page. Yeah, this is kind of, it's interesting. This is real kind of special content.
Do I get a different, do I get a different recipe if I refresh?
You can click on the the thumbnails on the left there and see the different.
I see.
Brussels sprouts. No!
Oh, Brussels sprouts are good if they're made right.
Oh, I hate them.
You know what? Just put a little bacon in there.
Yeah, a little bacon will make Brussels sprouts really good.
So you fry up some bacon. You saute the Brussels sprouts in the bacon.
Pork fat makes anything good.
And then you throw the Brussels sprouts out and eat the bacon. It's great. No, I like Brussels sprouts. I just feel like anything that tastes like that's got to be good for you.
Yeah, it's true. It is very satisfying.
That's
you feel
my
very
thinking.
Self-righteous and healthy. And then you can eat the mashed potatoes and gravy without guilt.
That's what I'm thinking. And then there are mobile apps for the Thanksgiving host. When you go to the... Thanksgiving, bring along a mobile app.
Yeah, they've got these, checklists to make sure you got everything done, recipe apps. There's a few different, drink mixers for when Uncle Bert and Aunt Marge get kind of unbearable. You could kind of give them a martini. There's a few mobile apps I linked there on
this
the...
This is great. This is a Gizmodo page. Mixologist. The one they like the best is called Chow.
Yeah, it's a food...
This is good.
Has a Thanksgiving dinner coach.
This is good. And these are... These are all Apple apps, looks like.
No, they're Apple and the Android.
There's an Android. There's an Android. Thanksgiving planner. Yeah, see, this is... Okay, Apple, Chow. Pictures of turkeys, gorgeous graphics. Android, checklist. Things to remember.
And QR codes.
And QR codes. That's it right there in a nutshell. Android versus Apple, ladies and gentlemen.
Come on, there's one Android out there with some good pictures of roasting turkeys.
And BlackBerry? Nothing.
Nothing. What is Thanksgiving? We do not know. We're Canadian.
Well, it's Canadian. That's right. Canadian.
We celebrated last month. What are you talking about, Thanksgiving?
BlackBerry does two things. It makes phone calls and it gets email, which some things you can't do very well on any of your devices.
Email.
Right? Zuckerberg's killing email. There is no email anymore.
Yeah, what's this email that you talk of which you talk?
Yeah. And I've seen a bridge on sale in Brooklyn since I moved to America.
Email's dead. Don't you know that? All right.
Saw your bridge in Brooklyn. I love them.
You must have heard that once or twice. You lived in Brooklyn.
Yeah, I heard that all the time.
Let's get our tip of the week, Miss Gina Trapani.
Tip of the week. This one I love. This is a Google Voice tip. You can record calls in Google Voice. You have to press 4 when you're actually on the call. Not a lot of people know about this.
No, I didn't know it for years.
Yeah, I mean, it's incoming calls only, and it kind of, a recording breaks in and lets the other party know that it's being recorded.
I hate that part. I wish they'd let me stealthily do it.
Well, it would be nice if it was stealth, right? Well, a lot of people don't know that you can do that. But now in the Gmail interface, you can receive calls, Google Voice calls through Gmail. There is a record button, a little red record button, kind of like Skype's call recorder. So you can click that and you can record calls, and it gets recorded to your Google Voice inbox, which is really handy if you're talking to your accountant or doing an interview. But it's only for incoming calls, and it works the same way as when you tap 4. I think it's just going to expose this feature that a lot of people didn't know about. So the little record button is kind of rolling out slowly, so next time you receive...
Why would that be incoming only?
It's a good question, because it doesn't make sense, right? I mean, you really would want it either way. I'm not sure why it is.
When it's I interview people, you know, I want to record the call, so I use Skype and call recorder for that, which works really very
works
well.
Great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's no technical. I can't think of a technical reason for
that. Can't think of a technical reason either. Maybe it's just about... Huh. Yeah, it doesn't make sense. Consent, you can get it either way. It doesn't matter if the call is incoming or outgoing.
I am recording this call.
Do you record stuff on record calls in voice often, Leo?
No, I'm frequently on interviews where they use it, which is smart. I mean, if you're a journalist, it's a great feature, actually.
Oh, yeah. Wonderful. Yeah. Our students learn that early in.
Right away. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Our number of the week, Mr. Jarvis.
Let's see here. Let's see.
I have it right here.
Here it is.
Google.
So, for what it matters, Palin is winning the numbers in Google searches. If that makes you happy or sad, up to you. But she's generating 16 times more queries than Mitt Romney, 14 times more than Newt Gingrich, 38 times more than Mike Huckabee, and 87 times more than Tim Pawlenty.
Huh.
So I wonder what Nate Silver would have to say about this.
Of 538.com.
Yeah.
Does more searches mean anything?
Yeah, it doesn't mean anything, exactly.
That's why I don't know. Well, but it Facebook, remember we had this as a number about 3 weeks ago after the midterms, that there was some correlation between Facebook friends and
Oh,
victory.
That's right. There was a very direct correlation, actually.
Yeah, there was. But you could come up with many theories behind that. You know, the younger, hipper candidate in a anti-incumbent world I don't know.
But. Is there a way you can, Gina, like some programmatic way that we can do this, that find out, compare searches? Does Google reveal that?
Well, they do the zeitgeist, right?
Yeah.
I'm not sure if they reveal, like, I mean, obviously,
yeah, you can, because you can try to buy the keyword of Sarah Palin.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I'm just curious, if Sarah Palin's legs gets more searches than Sarah Palin for president, or, you know, I mean, just curious how we parse that down.
Where's your mind, Leo?
Well, she's got nice legs. But it's not you know, I'm just saying that might be, you know, it might tell you something. Like, all we know is that their searches, we don't know what they're searching for. Maybe they're just trying to find the Discovery TV show.
Right. Well, that's a good point.
She's got a TV show on.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's a lot of people with Google TVs trying
to... It could be, well, and Palin itself had a lot of searches because of her daughter.
Bristol.
On Dancing with the Stars and the book.
So this is absolutely me in this number of the week, but I have to have one.
I love that number. That's all right.
Somebody suggested a while ago that I should do instead a pick in a pan of the week or something. I don't know.
You can do anything you want. You don't have to even ask me or tell me ahead of time. Just do it.
Cheer and jeer.
Cheers and jeers.
Cheers and jeers. Cheers and jeers.
I always love those fake, like, you know, brickbats and bouquets.
Wired, tired.
Wired, tired.
Yeah, never mind. What a cliche.
Sorry,
we'll
Jeff,
do a cliche in a week.
Wired and Googled.
All right.
I was going to do pick, please. Have I done pick, please, as my pick of the week? I think I have, but I want to mention it again. We talk a lot about Instagram on all of our shows. It's a really great Apple iPhone app that encourages you to take pictures, and there's a social aspect. You can like and comment. And it's frankly about the only reason I ever use my iPhone anymore is because I want to take pictures with Instagram and share them with my friends. There is actually a really good version of this for Android called Pick Please, and I think it's very interesting. They seem to be in a feature war. PICPLZ, it's a free Android application. And in some ways, Pick Please has an advantage. For instance, it has actually has a web interface, so you can browse through people's pictures. All the liking and following and commenting of Instagram is the same. There is an interesting feed where, just like Instagram, and I think this is something new that the Pick Please people added because of Instagram. They have the filters that Instagram has. They're not, I wouldn't say as good, but people are using them to some advantage. I'd like to see more people use it because it's kind of fun. PICPLZ. I'm Leo Laporte on Pick Please. If you want to follow me, if you have an Android phone and you'd like to kind of take part in this social photography, it's the return of moblogging, everybody. It's back.
Yeah.
Yay. And a lot of people's lunches, mostly.
I want to go back to what Ohm said earlier. He's really right that we're just kind of limping along, still using old forms and old assumptions. Old, in this case, is only, 5 to 10 years old.
Right.
But there is a need for something to break out.
Well, what do we do? Let's have a manifesto. What's the Ohm manifesto?
Jeez, why are you asking me these tough questions?
You started it.
Jeff gets to make up numbers. Gina gets to say, press 4, record calls. I got to come up with something smart.
Yeah.
I'm not coming back on your show ever again.
Okay, never mind. Forget I said it.
I have no idea how to fix this thing. If I did, I would have written about that.
You wouldn't be a lousy blogger. You'd be out there with a startup.
I think
Giga Ohm is a startup, isn't it?
I know, but it's been like around 5 years, so you don't think like that.
Right.
But I do have a tip for you.
Oh, I'd love to hear it.
Ah, good.
Yeah, there is an app for Android called Remote Camera, which is like Hipstamatic and Instagram, and it's a lot of fun.
Oh, I'll have to try it. Remote Camera?
Yeah.
All right, good.
Is it Remote Camera? Or something of that sort. Hang on. It is called Remote Camera. Yeah.
Remotecamera.
And right. It basically is a Hipstamatic clone, I think.
I love Hipstamatic. That's a really great iPhone app. That it gives you all the different kind, like the Lomo and the Polaroid and all the different looks.
Yeah, I like FX Camera for that. But I always like an app that'll give me good effects.
Well, as long as we're talking camera apps, how about Vignette? Have you played with that a little bit on Android? Oh. That's actually my favorite on Android. It allows you to do a lot of different effects, borders. It's actually very, very capable Vignette. You can do effects, frames of all different kinds. If you want to play with that, that's another free tip. Ohm Malik is at GigaOhm.com. That's where he blogs. And it was great having you on. Thank you, Ohm. Really appreciate it.
Well, thank you for inviting me to the show.
You're so great. Come back soon.
Hey, I think I might have given you the wrong name. It's called FX Camera.
Oh, yeah.
FX Camera.
I have seen that. Sorry. FX Camera.
I didn't know why I was saying Remote Camera.
No, FX Camera. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the one that I use, but I'm going to check out the
FX Vignette.
FX Camera, Android application by YMST, YMST, if you want to. There's the white effect. Isn't that beautiful? It's like a polar bear in a snowstorm. Oh, there it is. Here it comes. FX Camera. Cool.
All right.
Thank you. Thank you, Ohm. Jeff Jarvis is at buzzmachine.com.
And the author, we look alike. You can confuse us.
Yeah, you look just like Gina. Yeah, yeah. The author of this fabulous book, What Would Gina Do? I mean, what would Google do?
It's all about the G.
It's all about the G, baby. All about the G. And we're glad to have you once again, Jeff. Have a great Thanksgiving.
Thank you. You too.
Gina Trapani at buzzmachine.com and the author of the newly revised complete guide to Google Wave. Oh, there she is. Thank you, Gina.
See, we look alike.
Yep.
There's the proof.
I confuse
you. Happy Thanksgiving, everyone. Don't have too much gravy.
Did you get your Glee songs?
Oh, not yet. I got to run down to the mailbox, check them for today before
Scott
the holiday.
Stuff. Yeah, good.
Very excited.
Yeah. I'm sorry, but that Carol Burnett episode, not good.
Yeah, not so much. We'll give them another shot.
If they go 20 minutes into the show and they haven't burst into song.
Yeah. No, I know.
I want to see it.
I'm with you. Next week.
Her plastic surgery was scary.
Do you think that was really her singing? Because she has this very, gravelly voice. And then she bursts into song and she sounds fantastic. I just can't believe that was her singing.
There's a lot of production that goes on.
Maybe that's it.
Glee.
Yeah.
I could sound good on Glee. Is that what you're saying? Baby, it's cold outside.
Another Glee. Yeah, you sound good no matter what.
Says, what the hell have I walked into?
Never being on this again. Thank you all for being here. Have a great Thanksgiving, and we'll see you next week on This Week in Google.
All right, guys. Gobble, gobble.
Gobble, gobble, gobble.